Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
I'm trying to see if I can recognize the voice.
It's Eric Clapton.
That's Clapton. Okay. Ah, I get it. Well, interestingly enough, our next guest is a Florida native. He is the surfinest dude of any person who lives in Kansas City that I think you could possibly meet. And he's usually the director of our TV broadcast for Sporting Kansas City. But he's in a bubble right now. And not the MLS bubble. He's in the NBA bubble. It's my buddy Todd Kinsey, who, when I texted him and said, hey, are you willing to join me on the show as a guest? He's like, you must be running out of guests. Ha! Todd, what's up, buddy? How are you, man?
Hey, the best surfer in Kansas City. That's the esteemed title you give me.
Is there anybody, do you know, is there a community of surfers in Kansas City? Like, would you?
Oh, yeah. It's massive.
There's six of them.
Do you think, honestly, you would be the best surfer in all of Kansas City?
Oh, I got the Midwest unlocked. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, so we want to talk to you about life. First of all, explain for our audience what you are doing in Orlando. Why are you there?
So my job down here is with TNT, part of their game broadcast, and I'm the technical director for their shows. And in layman terms, I basically hit the buttons that make the different camera angles and graphics and replays all come to your television screen in live time. So, you know, as LeBron hits that buzzer beater three, and we cut away to a shot of the reaction of the bench, or then cut away back to a shot of LeBron's face and his reaction. That's me hitting those buttons to make the shots change.
Well, you better have the right transitions. That's all I know.
there's a boatload of for the six.
So, see, by the way, that's the voice of Jake Gutierrez, Todd, and he used to work in the CBS NFL TV trucks, so he's making sure you know that he knows the lingo.
I worked with a lot of producers.
He's name dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only time you'd hear the TV get yelled at is if they didn't cut the camera right, or that's not the transition I asked for. So I don't know. Transitions in between cuts.
So that's like it can wipe across,
yeah,
or it can
flash.
Explode out at you, or right. It can just cut straight to the next camera.
Yeah, so.
A lot of transitions, Todd, for this.
Yeah, no, that Jake just triggered me with that yelling. That's a regular thing.
Producers very, very particular about their transitions.
Yeah.
Exactly where are the games going to happen? Are they all in the same arena? Are there going to be a couple of different arenas? Are you guys going to be in a truck or a compound? What is your setup going to be for doing this?
Yeah, so the setup for the television side of things is kind of like an all-star game or a World Series. We're in a giant compound out in one of the big Disney parking lots it's inside of the ESPN Wide World of Sports, but it's outside of the three arenas. And there's three arenas that the games will be going on in. There's a main arena and then two secondary arenas. So about half the games will happen in the main arena, but TNT has a truck set up for each arena, and ESPN has a truck set up for each arena, and the production teams will rotate between those trucks depending on what matchup is in what arena. And we're just kind of covering all the games that are down here, not only for our national broadcast, but then for all the local broadcasts as well. We're doing literally every single game from the exhibitions that are going to start on Wednesday all the way through the finals.
So are all the announcers going to be on site, or are there going to be some of them calling it from remotely?
Almost all the announcers are on site. All the announcers from TNT are on site, and you know, obviously they've taken special precautions. They're a lot further back from the floor. There's literally plexiglass everywhere. The announcers are separated a little bit, kind of in their own individual booths, but still close enough to where they can see each other and somewhat interact in a organic way. I believe ESPN is going to have announcers back in their studios in Bristol for the third court, which is kind of the redheaded stepchild court. You know, the Orlando Magic versus Sacramento King games are going to happen over there. So but
as far as like the local, when the locals are doing a game for, you know, the exhibition portion, they're probably not going to be there, right? The local announcers.
Yeah, none of the local announcers on site, and that's actually one of my jobs, is to create a special feed that goes back to each one of the local broadcasts that doesn't have any of our TNT branding on it. And so the locals will get, kind of like the MLS does, what they call a world feed, which is without graphics except for like a generic replay transition jig. And yeah. So that'll go to those guys, and they'll call their respective games back in their home. I think they're actually back in their home arenas with their TV trucks parked outside of their arenas. Kind of like baseball's doing, like the Royals game. Did the Reds get on the bus today or get on the plane?
The Astros?
We don't know yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen the latest there.
We'll see.
The weather looks not great here, so I'm not sure if the Astros
are coming. The weather looks okay in the evening. It's just not great in the afternoon, so we don't know yet. Yeah. But, yeah, the Royals announcers are just going to be home. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, on Friday when they're in Cleveland, you know, the Cleveland broadcast will send a feed back to Kansas City, and the guys will call it from their booth in KC. So it's from a television standpoint, it's a whole new world with all this world feed stuff.
Yeah, we've been doing stuff like that, as Todd would know, in soccer for a while. We've been calling a lot of games from studio. They do it all over the world in soccer, and there are challenges with it as an announcer because you can't see the whole field. Sometimes the referee's out of your camera sight, so you're not sure if he's giving someone a yellow card or if he's calling it a foul or out of bounds. So there's some challenges there. I would think baseball would be really tough, by the way, because think about how many times in baseball, Todd, you work Royals broadcasts and visiting broadcasts when they come to town, right? You work in the truck for a lot of those?
Yeah, I do.
So how many times is the ball in a completely different part of the field than the actual base runners? Like, I can't think of another sport where the ball is actually not on camera a lot of times.
Yeah.
Because if there's a ball, like a fly ball to left field, and it bounces into the alley, and there's a guy rounding third coming home, they cut to the guy rounding third, and you can't see the ball. So, like, for the TV announcers,
I wonder if they'll just provide a high home,
yeah,
just so you can kind of look at two things. That is going to be difficult, you're right.
Do you know about that, Todd, what they're going to do there?
As far as baseball, I haven't heard anything about sending out additional feeds, but I would imagine they probably will. I know for the basketball games, we are sending out individual camera feeds. So there's, you know, camera one, which is the game camera for basketball, is going to those RSNs, the regional sports networks, at all times. That way, not only can they jump on that camera if, you know, our announcers are in a different story talking about somebody on the bench or whatever, but that way the, you know, guys like you, the announcers, can see what's going on constantly. But in baseball, I don't know that they're providing that, but I haven't really been involved with those deals. But you bring up a good point. In baseball, there's so much downtime where the announcers will get into just random stories about stuff that's not going on the bench, and Steve Kurkenbach, the Royals director, is cutting to those shots during, you know, in between pitches. And if you're an announcer in Cleveland trying to talk about whatever storylines you're talking about, and they just keep coming back to a shot of Salvi on the bench, it's going to be tough for those guys to call around the home show cut.
Yeah, well, how often is half of a boring baseball game, when you're losing 100 games, an unusual looking fan in the stands, and they talk about them for two innings? That ain't happening. You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, and I could just, from perspective or from experience doing the sporting games, when you're getting the home feed, I might be telling a story about Matt Beisler. I probably am.
Why you wouldn't know? You?
But I might be talking about, but the other broadcast crew is telling a story about their assistant GM. And so I don't know why, but I'm calling the game from the monitor, and all of a sudden they just keep showing pictures of some executive that I don't recognize in the stands for 4 or 5 minutes. And you don't know why they're showing him. You're not sure who that guy is, and you just
always go back to Beisler, though.
Yeah, you just keep talking, you know? So that stuff is going to be interesting. We have Todd Kinsey. I want to hear more about the bubble. So can you just lay out for us, like, when did you get down to Orlando? What was the process like of getting in the bubble? Are you getting tested on a daily basis, like the players? Like, what has it been like actually getting down to Orlando and being there for however long you've been there?
So I flew down on July 9th, And the reason I came down so early, one, was to quarantine, and two was it's the setup from a television standpoint is like nothing that's ever been done before with six trucks all in one spot. So it's been a long, tedious setup for us down here. But the bubble is interesting. There's basically two not separate bubbles, but there's the player bubble, which they call the green bubble, and then there's a kind of a production bubble, which they call the yellow bubble. And I would visualize it as the green bubble is the smaller one that's inside the bigger yellow bubble. And for the guys that on the production side that are down on the floor, the camera operators, the audio guys that are down on the floor, they're in a smaller bubble, and they're actually quarantined a lot like the players are quarantined. But for me, for example, I'm just staying in the television truck. I'm not necessarily going into the arenas at all during the games. So when my bubble is the kind of larger yellow bubble, and when I arrived on the 9th, they got us a shuttle straight from the airport to the testing site. And so we go straight to the testing site. They test us, and then we went to our hotel. And our hotel is completely rented out by TNT and ESPN. The only people that are allowed in or out of the hotel are credentialed media members that are staying there. And so there's no general public at our hotel. And so we went to the hotel. We quarantined for a couple days, got our test back. We got our test back, and I think it was like 10 hours or something, tested again 2 days later, and then we were able to start going to work. And I'm tested every 3 days as opposed to every day, but the guys inside the green bubble are tested every day. And since I've been here, I have not been allowed to leave the hotel or the compound. Those are the only two places that we're able to go. We can get food deliveries, and we can, get grocery deliveries and that sort of thing. But those people that are delivering the food aren't even allowed in the hotel. We have to have a liaison meet them, grab the food, and then meet us in the lobby. So it's pretty tight.
Have you called the snitch line on anybody? Is there like a production guy snitch line where if you know a guy's, stepping out, you can rat him out, or can you rat any players out?
There's not a production snitch line. They don't care about us that much.
Hey, but on
he's calling in, narking on other TDs,
yeah,
so he can pick up a couple
extra.
Yeah,
that's a way to move up the ladder, Todd. Some. You thought about that?
That's a good call. Once I get all the info from the guy that's ahead of me, because he's been teaching me some things while we've been down here, once I get all that locked away, I'm definitely calling. Yeah,
sounds like you got enough work to do. I don't know if you need more work down there.
Hey, but in all seriousness, working inside that TV truck is probably as quote unquote dangerous as being on the basketball court as one of the players, if not more so, because you guys are sitting stationary for several hours in very close proximity to other guys, right? Like, how are you concerned about that at all?
Well, the production truck, they've made some modifications. And again, for those that don't know what a production truck is, it's basically a tractor trailer, 53-foot tractor trailer that is filled with production equipment. And so what they've done is for each production truck, they brought in a B unit with it, which is a whole nother production truck. So my truck is actually two trucks. And what they've done is they've spread everything out. So normally they'd pack everybody into one truck, and the graphics, the replay director, the guys that are coloring and shading the cameras, they've spread those people out into two separate trucks. And they've also put, like a plexiglass protector in between each one of us. But, at the same time, you're still sitting in a trailer that probably has 15 people or so in it at any point during the broadcast. So it's always in the back of your mind, but everybody's getting tested every day. We have to have our masks on at all times, except for when we're in our room or when we're eating. So they've taken the measures to try to keep us as safe as they can, but if it gets into one of us, as tight as we are, it could definitely spread pretty quick.
Hey, I'm guessing though that especially after the 4 months of us not having any sports, that means you haven't had any work. You're happy to just have work and have games to do right now. Before we let you go, Todd, you had sent me a text. The whole reason I thought about having you on was because you sent me a text that said, I'm just trying to figure out which button I should make for camera 60. And I wasn't sure if you were joking or not. How many cameras are you guys going to have in these games? And maybe give us some insight on, are we going to get to see a lot of things in these TNT broadcasts that maybe we don't get to see during normal circumstances?
Yeah, that's actually been one of the fun parts about this is the arenas are set up no longer for fans, but they're set up for television because there's nobody in there. And I'm not even sure if I'm supposed to tell you guys this, but there's a really cool thing they're doing in the arena that has these video boards that basically go around the entire thing, and they're going to be piping in live fans for the home teams, you know, for if the Orlando Magic is the home team, and they're going to have live fans in those video boards that are in their homes, and they can react live to what's happening on the court. And there's also going to be fan cams where fans are able to, you know, let's say LeBron walks over to the camera area, and he's able to talk back and forth with a fan that's in their home. So,
wow.
And the amount of cameras that are in these things are unbelievable. We've kind of transitioned from a lot of man cameras, you know, a guy sitting under the basket with a camera on his shoulder has now become a robotic camera. And so that way that operator's off wave in the back of the arena. And so there's, I think there's 63 total cameras, and about 40 of them are operated robotically by operators. So there's cameras in every hallway from every locker room as they walk into the arena and get off the bus. I mean, there's cameras everywhere. It's unbelievable.
Well, I'm excited to watch it, man. NBA returning here. When's the first game? I'm trying to remember. It's
the first real game.
Opening night. Yeah, opening night is July 30th, and I believe it's 5 p.m. Central on TNT, Jazz and Pelicans.
All right. And will you be on that one? Are you on that game?
I will be on that one. Yeah, that's a doubleheader that night, but I'll be on the early game. And, we're excited to bring sports back to everybody.
So remember, folks, when you're watching that game, if there are bad transitions, this is the guy right here. You can sit at home now and say, Kinsey, transitions!
Yeah, when color bars make air, that's just me saying hello there, buddy.
Yeah. Look, quick flash.
Hey, man, yeah. I'm glad that you got a gig. I for all the guys I've been talking about this that work in TV production, the camera guys and gals, the people that work in the TV trucks and all that, they all want to work. Some of the hardest working people I know, they go wherever the games are, whenever the games are. They leave their families for weekends and road trips and all kinds of stuff because they want to work, and there hasn't been an ability to work for the past 4 months. So I'm glad we're getting games back so that you can have a gig. And it sounds pretty exciting, man. So good luck and stay safe in that bubble. All right, Todd?
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, that's Todd Kinsey again, surf champion of the Midwest right there. We'll take a break. Back after this, we'll get a weather forecast from Lozak and find out should and could the Astros be coming here to play this exhibition game. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.